Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hello. We lost the whole last episode.
What did we do last episode? I remember we got to the house. I tricked a photographer dude. Well, I pretended to be a photographer and tricked one of the guards. And then we got to the other house with all of the people, like all of the ghosts in it.
Yeah.
And we hid behind the door as somebody sort of busted in because we had a really crappy starting position. And then we walked. Oh, I remember. We got sent to like the basement or something. And the leader, like the head dude in charge, was like, I don't know you. And that's where we ended.
Yeah. Yeah. Extra things, I guess, to cover in there. The vampire Lord Skurlock offered to help you.
Yes.
With making sure your ghost friends are safe from ghost powers.
I kept calling him not Nosferatu.
Yeah. And then the other person, that name escapes me currently.
Rigby
helped you guys out with the flamethrower and like a lightning thing. And then Telda offered the help of a scientist who can essentially put spirits into machines. But your goal was to go there and get back the stuff.
Oh yeah, and we had determined that more than likely the thing that was controlling all of those ghosts was potentially in a centralized location that we could destroy.
Yeah.
So I remember that was one of the things that we were looking for, and then we got like sent to the big dude's basement.
Yeah. So to re-describe what's in front of you, there was an elevator behind you, and that has since disappeared. And in front of you are these giant metal rings around like a pool of some sort of liquid, and the rings are like brass and silver, and inside of the rings, sitting in the liquid, there's a purple like creature with like wings and horns and like various like spikes, different things. And his facial features are very like demon-esque. As you entered the room, he looked at you and said, I don't know you, and made the elevator disappear. And it's as if the creature in the pool is examining you, like walking around you, but he's not moving at all. But you feel like the disorienting like nature of like someone walking around you, like circling you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the air, I guess. It just feels like he's like hovering around the room, but clearly isn't moving. He looks, and the little orb that is a man is blinky starts to glow, like really bright, and the notebook glows like a orangish hue, and you feel for a brief second, both you and Cricket, as if someone is in the space between you. And then you hear a voice say, I'll explain later. And both of the lights go out.
Awesome.
And and now you're in the room with this creature. What do we want to do?
So you said the lights out and the creature in the middle in the liquid is demonic?
Yes.
It's a demon.
That is correct.
Cool. I have a demon bane charm.
Nice.
So I'm just gonna hold on to that cricket and say, like, cricket, stay near me. Let's stay next to this charm because he's not gonna like this. But yeah, I have a Demon Bane charm. And I'm going to say to Mr. Demon, we don't know you either, but I think you have something that belongs to some friends of ours, and we'd like them back.
What is it you're willing to offer?
Your life.
At that, the rings start to, like, spin around this, like, pool. You appear in the center hallway where you originally were, by the stairs. And the person in the purple, like, purple-skinned person in the suit is there again. This sounds like a fair trade. And he offers you the two items. Just know I'll be in touch. And hand you, you know, the chess set and the clock.
That, I don't trust that. Not even a little bit. But I'm going to take them.
And that,
that's scary. That's holy crap. Okay.
Pretty much it. And he's just standing there. And he says, you're free to leave. I hope my people have not caused you any trouble.
No, not at all. Not any more than us having to, you know, come and collect my friend's items. It's fine. Can we see Winky and Buck in here?
No. Winky and Buck are at your original
house.
They're
at our place.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool.
So
I'm going to stash the items very securely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I kind of want to leave as soon as possible because I don't know if that thing is going to chase me.
I'm good to go.
As you're, like, leaving, they sort of walk to ensure that the door is closed. They walk, like, really far behind you so that you feel comfortable going out of the door. And as they're slowly closing the door, they say, just know we both want the same thing.
Huh.
And
we'll see.
And the door closes, and there is, right outside the door, there is the people that are responsible for, like, spying on the house that you went to.
Uh-huh.
And also the person who took the thing out of the locker, as well as the person who you think you were on the phone with for some reason. And
right.
All of them are lying dead in front of the house, and you think for some reason you're thinking in your head that this is some sort of show of good faith, but it doesn't make sense that you're thinking that. It feels as if, like, the thought has been put in your head.
Yeah, this is not a this is a trap.
And beyond that, your walk out of there is pretty uneventful. And where do you go from there?
Maybe the bar near the house.
Okay.
Because I don't know that I want to go to the, I don't know. I don't know that I want to go to the house itself yet because I don't trust these people.
Okay. The bar is, you know, busy as it always is. The tavern keep Rigby is running around like a madman because he's short that person who quit the last time you were there. he just hands you the key to the back room and says, I don't have time to go back there. That you just go ahead.
Thanks, Rigby.
And
as we're, like, on our way back to the room, I assume we're, like, you know, shuffling along, and Cricket's gonna yell, like, past Brody, like, but I wanted a drink. That's all. All
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you unlock the door, there is the same room that you were in before. Inside is Lord Skurlock. He is a very tall person. His, like, energy is, like, you can feel it in the air. Like, when you reach out to, like, touch the ghost fields. It's like that feeling. And for Cricket, it's like static. Like the air is like charged with like, you know, electricity, and you can just feel it emanating off this person standing in the room. He is well dressed in, you know, his finest clothes, and he has accents of red everywhere. And he says, "You're back."
Yeah, we're back.
How did your trip go?
Too well, actually. Much too well. So I want to show the items to Lord Spurlock. We got everything for Winky, Blinky, and Buck, but it was almost, it felt like it was too easy. So I don't know. I have trust issues. And there was like this demon guy, horns, spikes, wings. Do you know anything about a creature like that? It's a demon.
What color was
it? The demon was purple, right? Am I tripping?
Yeah.
Was the demon purple, or was the guy in the suit purple, or was it both?
Both.
Someone purple.
It was both? Okay, yeah. So the demon was purple.
Ah, stealing spirits. Purple.
Yeah, there was a lot of captive spirits there.
I had heard when the initial cataclysm occurred that there was demon in search of harnessing enough power to control the spirits that were not in control of themselves.
Mm.
There are darker, harsher spirits that only intend harm. The spirit wardens normally deal with them, but this demon thought that with the right tools that they could control them all. But it doesn't line up in terms of taking your spirits that have free will and are not seeking to harm people.
True.
Unless it was a mistake, unintended result of something. I'm going to have to go to my study and research. I'll be able to give you more information.
Yeah. I mean, let me know what you find, you know?
But I came to give you these, and Skurlock has the notebook and the orb.
Huh.
So
did you take them when we were in that demon's chambers?
Yes.
Like, did you summon them?
I came and collected them.
Cool. Thank you, because I was 99% sure dude was going to try and take them.
I don't know what his plan was. And did not look at you. Some of them can control you based on seeing them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a concern, because I got a really good eyeful and earful, actually. I threatened him.
I think the charm that you have saved you.
Well, that's a good thing. I'll keep that on me at all times, because the last thing I need is demon problems.
I also came because what you're involved in leads me to larger concerns for all of Dusk.
Do tell.
The spirits have been disappearing from where they belong for quite a while. And as a vampire, to aid spirits and people, other things to reach life everlasting, spirits are a necessity. And I have noticed quantity of them declining very fast.
Well, I have an idea of where at least some of them are. They're with that demon guy. They're all in his place. Or at least a good chunk of them. But if spirits are disappearing from all over the place, I don't know. I don't think, did dude have that many spirits? Because his house would have been choked with them.
I don't. From what you saw in the house, there are quite a lot in there, but not enough to warrant the idea that there are, like, all the spirits in the area are there.
Right, like, he had a lot, but he didn't have that many, which leads me to believe that maybe he's not the only one collecting spirits. What if there's, like, I don't know, this is probably just me being paranoid, but, like, what if there's a war, like, between these demons or whatever the hell? Because what are they amassing all of these spirits for? I don't know. Whatever it is they're doing this for, it's got to be some sort of insidious, because that's just unnecessary. Enslaving any other being for the sake of personal gain is ridiculous.
There is this feeling of, like, being at sea that, like, washes over both of you. And Skurlock's eyes like narrow, and he puts his hands out, and you see like the electricity around you, like these like purpley demon claws. It's like touching the area around you, and you hear the purple suited dude's voice again, like in your own voice talking in your head. I would never enslave any. I seek for them not to be enslaved.
That's counterintuitive, bro.
And that the voice and feeling goes away, and Skurlock pulls like a pin from his like jacket and hands it to Cricket and says, "You do not have a demon charm. Now you do." And he hands you the pin and says, "Keep it with you, because your energy is mixed. He can reach out to you. He can reach out to Brodius."
Wait, what does the pin do?
It's a demon bane charm. Demons don't want to interact with you if you have one.
Thank you. Kind of pin it on me, I guess.
And as you're doing that, the whole room rocks, and bottles are falling off the shelf, and the door flies off the hinge, and people are running and scattering out of the tavern, and you can hear them screaming and shouting outside of the door. Skurlock is gone the instant it happens, and you can hear his voice, but every time it's in different places throughout the tavern, and sometimes it's like echoing from outside, and he's mostly just yelling to people to go that way is what he's saying. What are we doing in response to this?
The door flies off the hinges because people are running, or it flies off the hinges because someone is coming in?
No one is there. I don't think that you would think it's necessarily a result of like the panic, but like that the whole like building itself shook and shifted and like...
Oh, right. True.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to see what people are running from.
All right. Are you going, I guess, into the tavern?
Is there, if for from this back room, is there an exit to outside or no?
So if you go, yeah, so you're in like the storage area, so you'd have to go out and into the kitchen,
right.
And then there's a way out. Then outside of the kitchen, there's the main like area and the main entrance door.
I don't know. What do you think, Cricket? Because I do want to see what people are running from, but also I kind of want to get Winky Blinky and Buck reunited and free and see if maybe they have more information about where the spirits are all going.
I think that's the priority, is working, is, you know, giving them their things back, freeing them, and then, you know, they can use their ghostliness to achieve the second goal.
Yeah, true. Very true. Okay, so you want to head out the kitchen and just depart from the tavern?
Yeah, as we're leaving the kitchen, are there any, like, snacks?
Yeah, I'd love to indulge. Well, I don't know if I can indulge my vice, but
I mean,
I would like to.
It's just going to be cheeky and, like, grab a chicken leg off something if you can, or just, like, grab some sort of snack.
Yeah.
Yeah. On our way out,
can we make a sandwich?
Yeah,
they have peanuts.
Yeah, I think there's like stuff that was being made by Rigby for like a couple tables that's back there, and
yeah, I'm just gonna
Rigby
grab, like,
has just like dropped that and went to help people get out of there.
I mean, I'm gonna grab a basket of fries, you know, just
yeah.
Salty, crispy. I'll pay for it or whatever, but yeah, I'm gonna take some fries.
No, I won't be paying for it.
Okay, never mind. We're not paying. We're gonna just grab them and go.
I'm just here to steal a snack.
All right, as you exit the back door, the like sky above is I guess an interesting question. Do you think that either of your characters were alive when the cataclysm happened? What is math? Like somewhere around 25 years.
No, I picture Cricket like young 20s.
Okay.
Brody, let me see. Let me look at Brody's backstory real quick. Yeah, no. No, Brody wouldn't have been alive either.
Okay. I was going to say this.
I mean, maybe he was alive, but I don't think he could have been more than maybe 3.
Okay, that's fair. The sky looks like it did during the cataclysm that, sun essentially went out, and it has a very similar look to that. And hear, like, on a speakerphone, like, megaphone style, talking to pretty much everyone in the city. Hold on, let me think. You hear a voice, speaking over these, speakers. The reconciliation is here. Please stay inside.
What?
And looking out of this, little alleyway that you're in behind the thing, passing one of the, streets is, I would liken it to, what is a good comparison? Oh, man. It's like a giant robot. That's the best way to put it.
Lovely.
And it's, it's gold, and but then there's plate glass panels, and you can see inside it's glowing this bright neon color, and it shifts colors constantly. And it's just marching down the street, and the voice repeats that every few minutes. It's saying, the reconciliation is here. Please stay inside.
I knew there was a war coming. Okay, so there's a giant mecha or mech, so that's cool. Ghosts first or mech first?
Okay, so part of me still says ghosts first.
Yeah.
Because maybe they can help with the mech issue.
Yeah. And to be honest, we're closer to the house than we are to the mech currently. Okay.
Yeah. So still
ghost first.
Chugging along, going to see our boys.
The mech said to stay inside anyway, so I guess it just seems like we're going inside.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just following orders.
Right, exactly.
Okay. You get back to the house. And there is nothing amiss as far as you can see from the outside. Do we just go into the house?
Can we be extra cautious as we go into the house?
Yeah, like a sneaky sneak.
Yeah, sure. So you enter the house quietly, and Blinky appears before you and says, I'll search the house for Winky and Buck. You stay here just in case you have to leave.
Okay.
And Blinky disappears and is just shooting through rooms. And unplug my computer. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. All right.
Hey, quick pause. Are we recording, and is it registering?
Yes. Cool. Both and both.
Just want to make sure.
But it got the loud microphone falling. Oh, that's good. The darn kids unplugged my computer, and then I've had it plugged in this whole time, but it wasn't plugged in.
Good.
So now it is. Anyway, Blinky's shooting through rooms, going all over the place, and you just see flashes of Blinky passing through the hallway and through rooms. And he comes back and says, Winky and Buck are here. They're hiding.
That makes sense.
And he says, I think if you announce that you're home and that you have the items, maybe they'll come out. But they don't know that you're here.
Oh, I see. Let me see. Let me see. Can I attune to them?
Yeah.
I want to try that and see if I can find them so I can, you know, go and say hello rather than shouting, because I don't know how well that'll work. Brody. Hey, attune. Okay. I'm going to just roll it. Yeah. I got a 4.
As you, you know, reach out to them, at first it feels like they're not there, and then it starts to like settle in, and both Winky and Buck appear in front of you, but they look worried, and they sort of point to like the area around you, and again you see those like, you know, like purpley claws scratching at the edges around you, and they look and essentially they're like apprehensive to approach you, and they're kind of just like hovering in front of you. Are you okay?
Yeah, are you guys okay? We got your items here, have your items.
They both take the item, and as they grab the item they feel like this relief, it looks like, and then Buck looks at both of you and says, I think that'll be quite enough. And the purple like demon claw things that were surrounding you kind of dissipate into like this like mist, and the window opens in another room, and that mist just goes out the window, and the window closes. And you don't notice it at first, but then you kind of see it out of the corner of your eye, the aforementioned pentagram that's on the dining room table.
A pentagram, always a good sign.
It's it's burning, and then Winky snaps his ghost fingers, and strangely it makes a sound like a whistle, and the pentagram goes out, and Winky and Buck look at Blinky and say, "You found them and you saved them."
Yay.
Okay, what do we do about that that guy out there now?
Yeah, the giant robot. I'm sure you guys have. So what's up with that, you know?
It's something from my, this is Buck speaking, from my past that I had hoped would never return. I was researching and discovered that you could have a spirit inhabit a metal hull.
Awesome.
And
very cool. How do we stop it, bud?
We have to get the spirit out. That poses a incredibly hard task, if you will. In my studies, I discovered that the use of metals such as brass or gold or silver would keep an entity of that kind safe from outside attack. The spirit can leave the robot at free will, but you can't.
But we would have to get inside to get it.
You can't reach in and pull the ghost out, because metal prevents you from interacting with it.
Well, I have an idea. What if we shocked the robot and then climbed inside to get the spirit out?
If you had enough electricity, you could stop the robot for long enough to extract the ghost. But there's not like an opening. The ghost goes through the panels into the robot. So it doesn't like open for you to enter it. So you'd have to break it open.
Oh, so quick question. You said it's made of gold, right?
Yes, and like plate glass panel.
Okay, really cool. Second question, does a flamethrower get hot enough to melt gold, being that gold is so soft?
Yes, but I think it would take you time. I think you would have to like, you know, there would have to be an amount of time to continually to heat it. Yeah.
I got you.
Would give the robot time to do things. itself.
So we just need two flames.
Well, I'm thinking if we can hit the robot with a shock at a crucial enough spot that it would stop it for a second, we could get in through that shock spot, like that crucial area, and just sort of dig our way in and get the ghost out. Because I still have the, where's my inventory? Here we are. I still have the spirit bottles. So we can get the ghost, like we can get it out. We just need to stop the robot.
Okay.
Second question, or third question at this point, would it be prudent to like kite the robot and get it away from the town? Because I don't want it to destroy anything.
I don't know the intent of the robot, but their destructive capability is immense. A hulking piece of metal mashing its way through the street. Currently can't be safe.
Well, I have climbing gear. Could I climb up to a point on the robot that might be weaker and try and like melt my way in?
That is entirely possible. And
I have tinkering tools and demolition tools too, so I can help with that as well.
Brody's got all the tools.
I do.
Yeah, that could totally work.
Okay. So here's an idea. What if I tried to distract the robot to kite it further away from the town? And as we're doing that, you can like climb up the robot and start burning your way in, like from the back of the head or whatever. And then once we get it far enough, I can help you like start trying to take this thing down with some demolition tools or tinkering tools or something.
Yeah.
Or just use my lightning rod and pretend like my name is Thor.
Well, the lightning rod might get us, we could do it a little safer.
True.
But I think we could do it.
Yeah. Two-man team taking down a giant robot. It seems perfectly feasible.
Easy.
Cool. Let's do this.
We're going to use the traditional score method here. We're going to roll an engagement. The thing that is important is your approach. Again, is there's assault, deception, stealth, occult, social, and transport. From, I guess, the way you're describing the plan, it feels very much like a deception type of thing. Hey, follow me, pay attention to me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
This is going on while you're, you know, trying to break in and get the gun. But if you're going the other route and you're going like, I hit it with my lightning rod and you burn a hole in it and we get the ghost, that feels more assault than the other way. It doesn't at all feel stealthy to me. I feel like you're gonna go hit a robot.
Okay, so what are you thinking? Do you want to do like the deception plan or the assault plan?
So my line of thinking is we go lightning. We kind of have like one shot. Like if the lightning doesn't work, we can't really then like pull the, hey, look at me. Yeah. My friend climbs up your back. So I think we should start with the deception.
Okay.
And then if that doesn't work, go to lightning.
Okay, that works. Lure, trick, or manipulate. Yeah, that's about it.
And what is... Four seems correct. All right, I'm going to roll this engagement roll. All
right. Yeah.
So, as you have a controlled starting position, instead of jumping you in there and telling you where you're at and what's going on, I am going to let you essentially tell me where you're at and what you're doing in like starting sequence. So the robot is out on the street walking, just I guess tell me where you are, what you're doing.
How fast is the robot moving?
Like speed in miles per hour, somewhere around like 5 miles per hour.
Oh, so very slow. I'll tell you what I want to do. You tell me if this makes sense. With like a rock or an apple or just something I can hit the robot with. I want to throw something at it to get its attention on me and then start running away from the city.
You pick up a loose bit of like the cobblestone that's been broken from this robot walking on it and chunk it at the robot, and the robot turns and looks at you and looks back at some other people who are like out in the street, and the other people who are out in the street are like pouring into a building, and the robot looks, you have to get inside, and starts like marching towards you.
I look at the robot and go, make me, and I tear off away from the city.
The neon colors kind of centralize in the center, start to glow down in the feet of the robot, and the robot is picking up speed as it's moving towards you.
Oh, it's a big fast boy.
Ricket, where are you?
I would like to be like behind some, you know, like maybe a dumpster or something, out of direct sight of the robot, but very close to like the path it's going to like cross as it comes by me. So like as it passes me, I'm gonna try and like stealthily climb up its back.
Okay. I guess we reach that point now. It is passing you.
All right. I'm gonna. Can I count this as prowl because I'm traversing stealthily?
Yeah, sure.
All right, and I'm gonna push myself.
I will say it's a risky position. There is some like risk if you fail.
Fair. I'm pushing myself for 3 dice, and I'm really trying here.
Right.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. So now that I'm up there, I'm gonna try. First, I'm gonna like tie my little rope around my waist and try to some part of the robot so I don't just like fly off as it's like chasing my friend down and bobbing all over the place. All
right.
Smart.
And then I would like to look for a weak spot. So I guess I'm gonna try and like study it.
Yeah.
And I can push myself one more time. Why am I getting 2 stress for every push myself?
How much do you get 1 stress for assisting, right? Or is it 2?
I think you get 2 for pushing yourself and 1 for assisting.
Okay, I can help you out. I'll assist you. And like while I'm running, I'll just be like pointing out, try the left ear, try his nostril, the back of his head. I don't know, something like that.
Okay. I feel like this is still important, so I think I should also push myself. So I only have 1 die for study.
Oh yeah, same. Yes.
Heck yes. So I'm trying to find a weak spot and pull out the little butane torch that I brought with me for this important thing.
All right. There's a like a part at the top of the robot where you're sort of close to where you're sitting, looking around, and the panel is cut in half because like the metal doesn't overlap where like one of the shoulders connects to the back, and so there's like a narrow like cut where the panel was cut and like glued together, so it's not sealed with like the gold like all the other places. It's sort of glued right there.
Cricket just mutters to themselves like craftsmanship.
Right.
The robot is still chasing you down the street. So I am going to have you, I guess, Brody, tell me what you're doing in this like running that is preventing it from catching you. Because just innately running, the robot will catch you at some point.
Oh, serpentine, baby. Oh, yeah. I'm running in circles. I'm going all over the place. But in the general direction of away from the city. But definitely, I'm trying to stay out of the way of its feet and confuse it as to where I'm going.
Okay. I am going to have you roll something for that. What? I don't know.
Let's see.
I'm guessing prowl is the correct thing. That or finesse, subtle misdirection, the finesse thing. But it really could be any of these. You could say you're commanding, and that's an entirely.
What if I? Okay, is it possible for me to use sway? Like if I'm talking at this robot and going, okay, wait, I'm sorry. How far are we from the town at this point?
You are. So where you found the robot is pretty close to the edge of town, but at the edge of town, you see it now is the barrier that prevents like the ghosts that are like evil from coming in. There's like a force fieldy barrier type thing at the edge of the city, and you can see you're coming up on it. So you're maybe a block or two away from like people. People stay away from the edge of the barrier because they're fearful that it'll fall and ghosts will come through.
Awesome. So we're far enough away that there are no people, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to slow down, actually, because I don't want the robot to like run into the barrier or whatever, because I don't want to go over there. But I'm going to slow down and be like, okay, you got me. I'll head back to town, just slow down. Let's talk about what's going on with the reconciliation. Like, I kind of want to persuade this thing to talk to me so that I can buy Cricket some time to like break into the back of its neck or wherever. So if I use that tactic, would that be sway?
Yeah.
I have two dice for sway. Okay. Wait a minute. That's not my character sheet. These are my actions. There we are. Yeah, I'm gonna push myself. That's fine. Okay. Okay.
The robot slows down and looks confused at the question of what the like reconciliation is. And then the glow, the neon glow rises up into the face of the robot. Is the word I'm looking for. I don't know why I couldn't find it. It like rises up into the face of the robot. And then you see like the ghost, like normal face in like this like face area. And the ghost says, the reconciliation is an attempt to reverse the tragedies of the cataclysm by helping spirits to be in control of themselves. Much like I'm in control of myself. And
are you?
He looks for a second at you and winks, and then the light goes into the right arm of the robot, and the right arm reaches up to grab Cricket.
I want to hit it with the lightning rod immediately.
All right. I am going to let you do that.
But I was so stealthy.
I guess best protocol for this would be to just do a fortune roll here. The other thing that we could do is Cricket could roll a resistance roll to essentially resist the negative effect. And essentially what that does is you incur the full sixth stress at the start, but then you roll a die. And whatever you roll on that, you subtract from the amount, from the six. And that's how much stress you get. But you completely negate the negative effect.
I already have so much stress.
Mm-hmm.
I only have room for three more stress.
So you would need to roll at least like a three or higher at the very least.
At the very least. What happens if I hit full stress?
Don't you incur a trauma?
Yeah, you get trauma.
I need to hit a four or higher.
Yeah.
So I'm not traumatized by this event.
Right. How do you get rid of trauma?
You don't.
Therapy?
Oh.
In this game, you don't. You
have that permanently. Andrew, what if we write in some therapists?
Yeah, can we write in, like, therapists and meds? Like...
I suppose when we sit down and do the script reading next time. No, wait. Trauma is weird. It's just like a permanent thing that you have with you. But
same.
Trauma is it like it's unique to the scenario. So like it's limited in its effect on you. So like in this scenario, like you get trauma from a giant robot trying to grab you. You know, perhaps it is like the fear of robots that you suddenly acquire. And it's not like a concrete like thing. It's just something that affects your behavior in the similar scenario that makes sense.
Okay, quick question. What is the devil's bargain mechanic?
That is a tough question. I also haven't talked about that. So I can make you a deal, or you can make a deal with each other to acquire an extra dice. So essentially it's like I offer you, you can get an extra dice to do the thing that you want to do, except when you do it, this happens. It's a yes, but type of scenario. And yeah, it essentially gives you another die to roll. I haven't used it yet, mostly because I haven't.
With resolve, resistance roll. Okay. Crap, I can't do the resistance roll for you is the thing.
So I can roll just a general fortune.
I mean, it's up to you, Cricket. What are you thinking? You got options, you know?
Okay, can you remind me of the resistance roll and what else?
Fortune.
The resistance roll, the fortune roll, and you can do like a devil's bargain.
I can't just like try and dodge? Big robot hand coming towards me?
No.
That's rude.
This game doesn't doesn't have like saving throws or anything. So like when negative effects happen, you can either resist them. Well, actually, technically, all you can do is resist them. I'm doing the fortune roll to, because there's an opportunity that the robot does grab you. Is essentially the fortune roll.
That's the fortune roll.
Trying to figure out if the robot is successful, and then resistance would be the robot is not successful, but have to figure out the stress.
Okay, I'm gonna try and just roll to not have the stress, and like worst case scenario, I'm afraid of robot.
Right.
And you know, everyone's got a little trauma in their life. Do I just roll a regular die?
So you would go to the like resistance and then pick you, and then the attribute is what is I guess this is prowess. Attribute is prowess.
I get two dice.
Yeah, it looks like.
Thank the gods. All right, are we ready?
All right.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Oh, by the skin of your chinny chin chin, fam. Holy crap.
I don't know. I might still be traumatized.
Oh, crap. That's right.
Because it's full.
Let me see.
Yeah. I think that's what.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Cool. We'd love to see it. I'll
check one of these trauma boxes here.
Oh, that was a sound effect.
Haunted? Haunted? Haunted by your interaction with this robot. That seems cool. You see, like, the robot hand coming up. And I think as you're, like, trying to get away from it, within the panels, you glimpse, like, just the pure the malice that the ghost has for you as it's realized that you're on its back. And you can just see the angry, like, raging ghost inside of the thing, and that's where your fear of ghost robots comes from. But you manage to stay up there, dodge the ghost.
Okay, can I shock it?
Yes, hit it with the rod. But even would be a solid action for Inker, Skirmish, Wreck, a tune.
I have nothing for Skirmish or Wreck. Yeah, let's do a tune. I have stuff for a tune.
Let's do a tune. That sounds great.
Yeah, you can roll an attune roll.
Nice. Let's do it. I'm not going to push myself because I... Okay.
Yeah. You hit the robot with the thing, and it, like, neon colors erupt in, like, this, like mix of, like, just light flashing all over the robot. And Cricket, you feel the robot falling, and you're tied up there, so you're able to hang on to the robot.
Yeah, can I, like, as it's about to, like, hit the ground, kind of do that, like, jump up thing, so I'm not, like, I don't have all that momentum, I'm kind of canceling it out, and I'm not just crashing down to the ground?
Yeah, so, yeah, you're able to stay up there, and the robot just kind of crumbles into the ground, and, yeah, the neon light is just going everywhere, it's about this time that, the, like, glue holding those panels together is, like, finally broken apart, and, from the look of it, Cricket, you think if you were to hit it hard enough that, like, you could knock those panels out, but, like, the panel themselves aren't, like, close to melting, they're just, like, burnt.
Well, I want to hit it.
Do you want a sledgehammer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got one.
I'll take all a sledgehammer.
You, bro. All right.
All you.
Give it a good whacking?
Yeah. I don't know precisely what you want to call it. Rolling. Wise.
Is whack a roll?
I mean, wreck is unleash savage force is what wreck says.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You have no points in wreck?
No, but for some reason I have two dice.
Yeah, so you get, whenever you don't have a thing, you get two dice, but you keep the lower one.
Oh.
Oh, boo.
That's funny.
All right, well.
Two sixes, let's go.
Actually, oh, wait, well.
Well, oh. Sorry.
Let me, I'll give you the five, actually. Because I was going to say I was going to give you a dice for having a sledgehammer. Because I think that aids you in your ability. So I'll just give you five. Because it's the first die you rolled. So you rolled one. I think that's fair. You smash through the panels. They sort of break in. And the light is still like shooting all around inside the robot. Very scrambled. What are we doing
now? I want to trap the thing in a spirit bottle.
Okay. So you're, I guess, moved towards the robot. What is a good one?
I have a lightning hook and two spirit bottles.
Yeah. So I'm going to have you roll in a tune, and we'll just count that as like hooking it and getting it in the bottle.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's go for it.
Yep.
Okay.
So you hook this crazy neon energy, and it constitutes back into like a singular ghost, and you're able to jam it into the bottle, and it's at that moment with multiple mixed successes that you hear it the first time. The robot is ticking.
Oh. Okay, run fast, run far, run fast.
If you both run, you both run away, and the ticking stops, and you see coming around the corner another robot.
What?
And that robot picks this robot up.
Now I'm scared of them.
On its back, and starts to march towards like. Somewhere that's not directly towards you, just like picks up the robot, marches away, and from I guess just the look of it, it seems like this ticking is like a beacon that tells the other robots when another one has like fallen.
That's not creepy.
That robot kind of carries the other robot away off into the distance, and that's that, I think.
Gee whiz.
We call it there. You wrecked a robot. That's pretty awesome.
scared of robots.
Well, yeah. Now you're terrified of robots forever.
But, which, you know, was a fear I didn't really think was going to come into play. So I missed it for the biscuit.
Yeah. The fear of robos. I will also research and see if there is a way to, somewhere in the book, get rid of trauma. But as far as I know, it's a permanent thing. And the only other thing that's important about it is if you get four of them, you have to retire your character.
Oh. So, pick it.
That's much it. I guess I'll throw some more counters into this reconciliation.
Yeah, because now that you that know, happened.
Now that you know what's going on.
Okay, I got a boogie, y'all.
All right.
Thanks for playing.
This was fun. Pasta.
See you next week.
Bye.